Ignition running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
My fellow Americans, I hope you're having a fantastic day at work on this federal holiday. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Bob Good, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, in a very close race, he has tweeted this out. This race remains too close to call. We're in a period where the law provides a process for evaluating the accuracy of all the vote totals from Election Day to ensure everyone can have full confidence in the certified results. Provisional ballots and mail-in ballots are also still to be counted. We're asking for full transparency from the officials involved and patience from the people of the 5th District over the coming weeks. It is a very close race, and it is notable how it was Kevin McCarthy and Donald Trump together ganging up on Bob Good, one of the most conservative members of Congress, with 100% conservative rating because he backed Ron DeSantis for president. The conservatives are getting purged for being conservative. What's the point of the House Freedom Caucus at this point? That's not what I want to talk about, though. All right. I wish to weave a story for you. I am not as fearful of China as a lot of people are. And the tale about which I wish to tell you is not actually about China. But we have to run it through China and the Soviet Union first, just so you understand. The communists of the Soviet Union were very famous in their confidence of winning war with the United States and the West. And it turns out that a lot of the things that the communists of the Soviet Union did were for show to tell the leaders. Now, we can go back to Potemkin and his village. Have you ever heard what a Potemkin village is? A Potemkin village, as legend has it, General Potemkin, who was a lover of Catherine the Great, she sent him to capture Crimea, and he did so successfully. And Potemkin built the facades of buildings on the way to Crimea along the river, so that when Catherine the Great went to Crimea to visit her newly conquered land, conquered from the Turks, she would see these elaborate villages thinking that, what the Russian people have done. And it was all facades. Now, the real story is there's historic evidence that what Potemkin was building were actually showcases of what potential could happen on the land. But his critics used it against him and claimed he was building fake villages to lie to Catherine the Great and tell her about all these fake things, and thus we get the phrase Potemkin Village. The Soviets, the Russians, they were very good at Potemkin Villages, and Soviet bureaucrats would build Potemkin Villages. They would fill grocery stores with lavish goods that no one could actually afford and show people. Take the subway system that Tucker Carlson got priapism over in Moscow. It was a beautiful, beautiful subway system with crystal chandeliers and art and murals and gold leaf and all sorts of stuff. It was actually built by slave labor, British subjects kidnapped by the Kremlin Soviets, forced into labor camps. They were engineers, and they were forced to design this subway station so that all the world could see the lavishness of the Soviet Union. And you left this station, and it was absolute squalor. We see this in North Korea as well, where they put on massive displays with their subway stations and all that, and they go nowhere. They're just designed to impress the West, and they're not real. Or China. The Chinese build aircraft carriers that split in half. You know, they don't even have any nuclear carriers that work. They have several nuclear submarines, and they continue to have problems. And their latest nuclear destroyer cracked in half upon leaving dock. Their nuclear ballistic missiles, it turns out that they were using water to fuel them, not actual fuel, all to impress And there were no whistleblowers. The whistleblowers could not whistleblow because if they blew the whistle in China, they would eat a bullet. In this country, the Biden administration wants to haul them off to jail. In China and the Soviet Union, the whistleblowers always died, so there were never any whistleblowers. People who could see the graft, the greed, and corruption would take their concerns up the flagpole and then die. That gets me to Joe Biden. The problem with socialism and communism is the system economically doesn't work. It drives up costs, and it can't get implemented, and you have to engage in the making of Potemkin villages and fake submarines and aircraft carriers to make people pretend, and this is a recurring pattern. The Washington Times has this story. Joe Biden signed into law a funded project for $42.5 billion to modernize the internet and ensure that businesses and homes in rural America could be connected to broadband networks within 3 years. Now there's this. Lawmakers and internet companies blame the slow rollout on burdensome requirements for obtaining the funds, including climate change mandates, preferences for hiring union workers, and the requirement that eligible companies prioritize the employment of quote-unquote justice-impacted people with criminal records to install broadband equipment. Congratulations, President Trump. If the presidency doesn't work out for you, you too can lay internet pipe. The Commerce Department, which is distributing the funds under the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Program, BEAD, is attempting to regulate consumer rates. This puts them at odds with internet providers and congressional Republicans who say the law prohibits those regulations. The slow pace of funding allocation and compliance will push the project start dates for modernizing rural internet from 25 to 2026, according to the timeline. Rural areas that have been waiting for broadband service will have to wait longer because of the DEI, unionization, and climate change requirements within the legislation. This is what happens in socialist and communist countries. They pass laws like this, and every group must be virtue signaled to. In those countries, it is the various communist-affiliated groups that must be virtue signaled to, the workers' union, the people's proletariat, the newspaper guild, all of those things must be propped up by the largesse of the Soviet state. In this country, it's the unions and the criminals and the climate change advocates. And the result is you got $42.5 billion in funding out there and none of it can actually be allocated because nobody can comply with the requirements. This reminds me of the electric vehicle mandate. Whether you like Tesla or not, and I am in the camp that thinks that Elon Musk is not as awesome as too many people on the right say he is because he virtue signaled to them his anti-wokeness, I'm not a huge Tesla fan. I have friends who have Teslas. My CFO for my company drives a Tesla, and he loves it. God bless him. I have no problem if you own a Tesla. Honestly, I would probably get a Tesla because I drive back and forth to Atlanta so much. I'd probably do that. It would make sense to me because I drive back and forth so much. I have an electric car, don't have to pay for gas. And what Tesla has done across the entirety of the United States and Western Canada and parts of Eastern Canada, they've built, without government assistance, a massive charging network. And in fact, you can go to Tesla and you can see their map. You can literally drive in a Tesla from Key West, Florida to Vancouver, Canada, and they've spaced out chargers along the way to make it possible for you, so you're never going to have to worry about finding a charger. You may have to wait an hour or two each time you charge, but you're going to be able to find a charger. Not as convenient as gas, but if you want to do it, you can do it. The federal government is trying to roll out electric vehicle charging stations around the country. They've allocated $100 billion to make it happen, and they've installed 7. With $100 billion, they've installed 7. Why? Because, like with the rural electrification and internet expansion, they're requiring climate change mandates and they're requiring DEI requirements that justice-impaired individuals, that is, felons, must be hired, unions must be used, and everybody must comply with the woke mandates, which has made it impossible to get anything done. 7 electric charging stations. And each of them has cost way more than the projected cost for an individual electric charging station, all because of the requirements that the wokes have used to demand and insist on efficiencies. And it drives up costs, and it makes it more inefficient. This is the nature of a government proletariat being in charge of this sort of stuff, where constituent groups must be catered to. And there's a lesson here for the right. Because more and more people on the right are abandoning basic economics, and they've decided, well, if the left is going to pass legislation and justice-impaired individuals, unionized workers, and climate change activists must get their fair share and their skin off the top, well, we're going to do that for our side. And our groups, we're going to make sure they cash in. The problem is, on both sides, that's very hard to do. And maybe the right should take this attitude that the left has rejected, that a rising tide floats all ships. There's this anger and rage on part of the right that they want the other side to suffer. I get it. Oh, I get it. But maybe if instead the right takes the attitude that we could all be winners instead of there being winners and losers, that we can advance policies where everybody wins, they would do a better job of convincing people to stick with them and not abandon them and go back to the left that thinks that some people win and some people lose and they should be in charge of picking the winners and losers. The left has decided to pick a bunch of winners who are losers, and they can't now deploy their signature initiatives. Joe Biden wanted to be able to campaign in rural America and say, I brought you cheap internet. The best he can do now is say, I brought you the Alphabet Gang to deploy them in your communities to dig up trenches and lay lines that can't actually be connected because we can't find enough unicorn farts to fuel the internet with them. The signature initiatives, the EV charging station rollout and the electrification and internetification of rural America are collapsing under DEI mandates from the Biden administration. There is a brilliant joke in there. There really is. It is hilarious that this is where it's come from. But, you know, this is the history of when you let the bureaucrats do these sorts of things. When you look at the ships of China or the cities of the Soviet state, when you let the commies get in charge of this sort of stuff, it all kind of blows up in their faces. They got to check off an intersectional list of victims who are supposed to profit at the expense of everybody. And at the end of the day, even the intersectional list of victims, they don't wind up profiting either. Everybody loses under DEI mandates. And Joe Biden, who might have something to campaign on had he not gone woke with all this stuff, has nothing to campaign on other than democracy in America. And the polling suggests nobody cares about that, because he promised them the internet and cheap stuff, and everything's more expensive.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Hang on, is that right? Yeah, cooking. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
I have to correct myself. I said something that was inaccurate, and I like to correct myself. No one has even emailed me to correct me. I'm correcting myself because I said it, and then I questioned myself, and then I found the answer. I said $100 billion had been set aside by the Biden administration for the electric charging station rollout. That's not right. It was a $100 billion total package, but for the Green New Deal, but it was $7.5 billion that was put in charge, and zero of them until last month had been built. And now there are seven, and those seven were previously built before the fund and then retroactively given money. So we've built seven chargers without government money, and now essentially $7.5 billion going to seven chargers. It's stupid. So, yeah, the actual number is zero chargers built. The seven chargers they say have been built were actually built prior to, but then retroactively given credits. Brilliance. Absolute brilliance by the Biden administration. But don't ever say I don't correct myself, because I do. And none of you even called me out. I found it myself. Now, I gotta go from that to a terrible story. Another illegal alien has been accused of savaging a girl in the United States, this time brutally raping a 13-year-old girl in a New York City park. He's an Ecuadorian illegal immigrant. Migrant, the New York Post is calling him. He was arrested Tuesday in a sexual assault of this 13-year-old girl in a Queens park. He had been ordered to leave the United States in 2022 by the Department of Homeland Security. He crossed the border on June 25th, 2021 with his son in Eagle Pass, Texas. He was captured, processed, and released. He said he was going to live in an apartment in Flushings, New York. He and his three-year-old son were released to a local nonprofit with a document providing a future court date. The family was deemed inadmissible by border agents because they lacked proper documentation to be in the United States, but were released with notice to appear. He's raped a 13-year-old girl. We've had kids murdered by illegal aliens, raped by illegal aliens, robbed by illegal aliens, and the best the left can offer is that, well, they're less criminal than American citizens are, so we should stay them. We got enough American citizens then clearly doing crime. Why are we adding more criminals? They may have less propensity, but they're still more criminals. And yet, they turn a blind eye to it all. All right, I got to move on. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack is on sale right now. You can get three of them and save $200 at EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K, the number 3. There's no space there. You don't write out 3. It's just the number, E-R-I-C-K-3, EdenPureDeals.com. It's an air purifier, so it traps the dust, the pollen, all that. But I use it as an odor eliminator, and it really, really works. I have been, in fact, I'm going to go stay up at Barnsley Gardens a couple weeks, hit golf balls by myself, enjoy some quiet time. And I stayed in one. They had a wood-burning fireplace there, and they used the Eden Pure Thunderstorm to get the smoky odor out of the room. Someone had lit it and didn't open the flue, apparently, and it worked. Never smelled the smoke. Just clean air, thanks to the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. They work. In fact, we go to a local Japanese restaurant here in town that runs them. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3. You get three of them. You save $200. They're small. You can plug it up with a USB cord in your car or plug it into the wall. I use it. I keep it in my travel bag. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code ERIC3. Save $200. Get three of them for wherever you need them.
Got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to the Eric Erickson Show.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. Groupthink. We need to talk about it. It's relevant. I think I made a mistake. I feel a little guilty that I priced gathering tickets where I originally settled. I went back in and lowered the price. And I did it because, well, every year I've set them very low, and everyone said, oh, you should raise them, you should raise them, you should raise them. And no one else had the experience I had with them. But I listened to those who didn't have the experience, a lot of outside voices, and I had to go back and redo it and reduce the price for everybody. Because I felt like we rely on sponsors. And we try to make the price as reasonable as possible for people to come. And I really shouldn't, I should have stood my ground and said, I'm right. Because I think I was. So I did. I went back. We reduced the price. We got a good hotel room rate for people so we can meet people's price point to be able to come. We don't actually have a lot of tickets left now. People buying up the tickets. I think we hit a sweet spot. If you go to Engage to 33777, you can get a ticket. Now, I start this way and say it this way because I sometimes think that you can surround yourself with people who they don't necessarily have the same experience you have, and they see things differently, and that's always a good thing. But at the same time, you might have unique experience, and in that unique experience have some insight they don't have. And you have a gut check that say this probably isn't the right thing. And I think you've all probably experienced that. One of my favorite quotes, and I don't know that she actually said it, but I had two separate people on two separate occasions tell me this is a Margaret Thatcher quote, and I can't find that it's true, but I attribute it to her, and it's one of my favorite quotes. When you have someone tell you to think outside the box, shoot them. You do a lot of outside-the-box thinking. Oftentimes, things are done inside the box. Conventional wisdom, it exists for a reason. People mock conventional wisdom, but very often, conventional wisdom turns out to be right because it's the tried and the true. So you have gut knowledge. You have beliefs based on your life experience, and you get surrounded with people who say, no, 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 you need to go this way. The danger with all of that is you then wrap yourself in an orbit of people who allowed in no other voices. And then your conventional wisdom becomes the wisdom of a bubble. It's not conventional wisdom, it's not wisdom. It's the groupthink of a bubble that doesn't accept other outside input to challenge that wisdom. And it can cause you all sorts of problems. And it is causing problems for a man you all know. His name is Joseph Robinette Biden. Senior Democrats, including some of President Biden's aides, are increasingly dubious about his theory for victory in November, which relies on voter concerns about January 6th, political violence, democracy, and Donald Trump's character. Joe Biden's core inner circle hasn't lost faith in this approach, the product of Biden and his longtime aide Mike Donilon. But that puts them on an island within much of the party about what will decide the election, as polls consistently have shown Biden tied or even behind Donald Trump, even after a slight bump following Trump's criminal conviction. A Democratic strategist in touch with the campaign told Axios, quote, "It is unclear to many of us watching from the outside whether the president and his core team realize how dire the situation is right now and whether they even have a plan to fix it. That is scary." People close to the president told Axios they worry about raising concerns in meetings because Biden's group of longtime loyal aides exiled dissenters. Even for those close to the center, there is a hesitance to raise skepticism or doubts about the current path for fear of being viewed as disloyal, a person in Biden's orbit told Axios, speaking on conditions of anonymity. There is no discussion that a change of course is needed. One of the jokes about the group is that no new friends are allowed. It's the unofficial rule. The group includes First Lady Jill Biden's top aide, Anthony Bernal, and former Deputy Chief of Staff, Annie Tomasini, low-profile but powerful aides who've worked for Biden's since the 2000s. When Tomasini was still head of the Oval Office operations last year, she and Bernal surprised people by sitting in on interviews for Biden's campaign manager. I have a very small group of people that I work with. We tend to trust each other's guts, and we tend to challenge each other, and rarely is there groupthink. In fact, more often than not, Charlie has a very strongly held opinion, and Philip has a very strongly held opinion, and John has a very strongly held opinion, and I have a very strongly held opinion, and they're all different opinions. And my job as the head of my company is to not presume I'm right all the time, but to take the area in which we are dealing with, who has the best gut on that and the most experience on that, and try to synthesize an answer that we can all come to terms with. And we challenge each other and we argue and we have calls all the time and we get along very well. The Biden team is the exact opposite of that. They have a small group of people who are expected to fall in line, and anyone who challenges the prevailing consensus is exiled. It's not healthy. It's not good. And it's not working. It's not working. Now, it's very notable that Joe Biden's campaign ads lately have been talking about the good economy and Donald Trump's conviction and things like that. But this reporting from Axios is making waves around Washington, D.C. in large part because there is a prevailing consensus that the Biden team is not working and that this message of democracy is at stake is not working. And this gets me to David Axelrod. David Axelrod has said repeatedly, including the beginning of this week, that if you can talk about democracy being at stake, you must not be talking about grocery prices, and you are a privileged person. Most Americans aren't concerned about democracy because, frankly, democracy doesn't look like it's working for them right now. Look at groceries. Gas prices are down, but they're still high. And the Biden administration, the Biden team, is convinced democracy is at stake. And meanwhile, they're yelling and lying about Joe Biden's defects. You know, his brain broke down again the other day. This is Joe Biden yesterday at the White House. This is unedited footage of Joe Biden.
Thanks to all the members of Congress and Homeland Security Secretary. I'm not sure I'm going to introduce you all the way.
That was Joe Biden. I didn't edit the footage. That's Joe Biden. And Mike Donilon, who's been with Joe Biden for a very long time, since the early 80s, and remember, Joe Biden has been wrong about everything since then. I wonder if there's a tie. This is the guy who's decided democracy's at stake, and that's the campaign message. Not groceries, not gas, not crime, not the border. Now, they're acting on those things. In fact, they point out that they have attacked Donald Trump on those things repeatedly. No. Democracy. That's their big theme. You know what you do? I've done that. I have run campaigns for federal office. Successful campaigns for Congress. And you know what you do? You get in a room with the people who know you the best to level the dirtiest, awful criticisms at you. I loved it. You'd get the candidate in the room with all his best friends, and they would tell him everything they hated about him. And you write them all on a board. And then you'd write all the good stuff on the board. But you had to have the people who could be in the room to tell the candidate all the bad things the candidate doesn't realize about himself. And by putting all of their real strengths and all of their honest, real weaknesses on the board, you could strategize in a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, on what the winning message would be. And you could compare and contrast that candidate with someone else and line your weaknesses up against their strengths and your strengths up against their weaknesses. And then you come up with a campaign message that more often than not naturally flowed from the analysis of what your campaign theme would be. Joe Biden's campaign theme, had he done that, would not be democracy's under attack. Because the Democrats themselves don't operate like they care about democracy. They just care about power. In fact, he could have come up with a great theme. We've turned the corner. Forward to a better future. And then talked about, yes, the economic success has happened at the macro level and it's coming to the micro level. It's going to flow into the homes of Americans and a rising tide will lift all ships and it could be an optimistic message. Instead, he's nope. Republicans are a threat to democracy. You know, starving people don't care. People who were rich and made poor by your policies, they don't care about democracy. That's the problem. When you are a privileged white bread elite in Washington, D.C., you can care about democracy because you can afford your high-end electric vehicle in your mansion in Colorama where you have your cocktails and parties and sit around your salons and discuss the high-minded themes of this week's edition of The Atlantic. Because you don't go to the grocery store to shop anyway. Your maid does. But when you live in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and you don't have a maid, and you're in your starter home and can't afford to move to a bigger house, even though you've outgrown your current house, and you can't afford the groceries that you could afford 3-4 years ago, and your family's had to make cutbacks, and by God, you've had to go to generic Pop-Tarts. Generic Pop-Tarts, by the way, are the worst. Generic cereal, it's not that fantastic, but generic Pop-Tarts are the worst of the breakfast foods. Generic Pop-Tarts are not good. But that's what you're buying, thanks to Joe Biden. I promise you, that person cares about their generic Pop-Tarts and wishing they had the real thing more than they care about the democracy you can't seem to govern. And the fact that the Biden administration just can't understand it, the fact that the Biden administration can't process it, the fact that the Biden administration just simply doesn't get it and thinks that democracy is the winning message, that's why so many Democrats are panicked. He surrounded himself in a bubble, and it's all groupthink, and you're exiled if you deviate from the groupthink. Successful people are willing to take challenge and willing to disagree and willing to dispute and willing to hash it out, and this team is not willing to do that. It's got all the Democrats in Washington now upset and freaked out that Joe Biden is going to lose, and they really do think democracy matters, except they are not acting like it because they would welcome some outside input and change course. Essentially, the Democratic strategists who are extremely successful in Biden's team, by the way, they're not. They were successful with Biden in Delaware. They haven't been successful nationally. The Democratic strategists who have been successful nationally, their gut tells them this isn't right. And Biden's groupthink is telling them it's the only way forward. What's so amazing is that the strategists who have been successful, whose gut is telling them they're wrong, aren't willing to speak up publicly to change, get Biden to change course because they would rather get scraps from the table while they have it than change course and possibly keep the table longer. Hillsdale College wants to find out what you think about the presidential selection process in this country. They would love your input on a presidential selection survey. If you go to ericforhillsdale.com today, you can take that survey. Tell Hillsdale what you think. There are a number of states, particularly progressive states, but there have been some Republican states that wanted to enter into an interstate compact where they would require that their electoral college votes be aligned with the national popular vote. So even if their state voted for example, Donald Trump, if the national popular vote went for Hillary Clinton like it did, their electoral college members would have to vote for Hillary Clinton. That's not what the founders envisioned, but it's what some states have wanted to do to try to make the presidential selection process more democratic than the electoral college. Hillsdale wants to know what you think about that. The traditional model, that model, something else. Go to ericforhillsdale.com today and let them know. E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Normally, Hillsdale College, great education institution. They want to educate you. Right now, they want you to educate them. It's also a great way to find out more about such a fantastic institution. All you have to do is go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com and take the survey today.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
Appointment and find out how you can eliminate ED on the first visit. Popular name brand pills like Viagra and Cialis don't work for everyone and can have serious side effects. Choice Men's Health custom medications work immediately, even if you have a medical history or think you're too old to perform like you used to. Choice Men's Health can help you have a fulfilling sex life again. Call Choice Men's Health today at 404-400-1170. That's 404-400-1170. Once again, that's 404-400-1170.
Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings. Welcome. Delighted to have you with me. So I just got a very nice email from Hall. Emailing from Jacksonville. Says he's frustrated with me sometimes because I try to explain away or mitigate liberal positions. And I get this complaint sometimes, and it's been a while since I've explained this. And so let me explain this to you. It is strategy on my part. You may disagree with, and Hall doesn't like it. I have a very strong belief that you and I as conservatives for the longest time have been better able to explain what liberals believe than what liberals can explain about conservative beliefs. That we have always done a better job of articulating their side of the aisle than they do ours because we know more of them. And I think to be intellectually honest, I've got to be able to accurately explain to you their views. Also, I do think there are a lot of people in conservative media today who go out of their way to distort the other side, to otherize the other side. And we are all Americans. And before I'm an American, I'm a person of faith who takes very seriously that I got to love my neighbor. And there's no caveat, there's no carve out, there's no exception. I've read it in the original Greek. I got to love my neighbor. And that means I should be able to agreeably disagree with my neighbor. And there is every incentive today to get you not to do that. And I know I can sometimes frustrate my friends who listen by trying to explain to you what the liberal position is as reasonably as possible. Because while I disagree with them, I think to counter their ideas, we got to be honest with what they believe. We can't distort what they believe. We've got to be honest. And if we're more honest with their position than they are honest with our position, we tend to win the argument because people realize they're lying and we're not. It's the same reason I'm willing to call out my own side's BS because I'm not just here to tell you guys what you think. This isn't Amen Corner. I'm trying to persuade other people that we're on the right side. And if I can't be honest about my side's problems, then we're going to have a lot of people who might be with us who say, well, you're all a bunch of liars. Why should I join your side? Well, I think you should join our side because I think we're on the side of righteousness. I think that our side is right. I think that our ideas are right. I think that our values are right. But if I can't acknowledge the turd in my own punch bowl, why should they listen to me when I call out the other side? And I don't just want to vilify the other side. Why? Because they're also Americans. There are bad people on the other side. There absolutely are. There are evil people. If you can't acknowledge there are evil people on your own side, I mean, we're on the side of a group of people right now who are anti-Semites too. And they show up at our conferences too. It's not just on the left. If we can't be honest about our side and their side, we're not going to be able to persuade people to come to our side. And I'd rather tell you what the other side thinks honestly without vilifying them, because who knows, maybe some of them will become conservatives. And then we grow our army and we win.